and welcome to the Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's breaking on the internet and why. My name is Arshana Kesavan, and I'm joined by Deepak Ravi, our technical sales engineer from EMEA. And Deepak's joining us from Dublin today.
Hey guys. Deepak here, really excited to talk.
Thank you, Deepak. So let's get into the headlines really quick. Last week was dominated by two outages, and I think one of these outages got more media attention than the other one. Both occurred on July 23rd. The first one was a brief outage in EMEA, actually, in London, where broadband providers like BT, TalkTalk, and PlusNet had a meltdown because of a fire in OpenReach. OpenReach is a subsidiary of British Telecom, but OpenReach is responsible for, you know, the infrastructure and plumbing that other ISPs rely on for their services. So OpenReach basically had a fire in one of their exchanges in Newcastle, and that brought down broadband services, so people were unable to make phone calls from their landlines or browse the internet. The second highlight and the outage from last week was the Garmin outage, and that's the one that's been receiving a lot of talk on the media, because it is an outage that's still not completely resolved, fifth day in. So the outage started on July 23rd, which was the Thursday, and Garmin is actually still recovering a lot of the services that were impacted, which includes Garmin Connect, Garmin Webmail, Garmin.com, and so on. So they are still in the recovery process right now.
And what's also interesting is, although users saw this as an outage for a long period of the time, we slowly started to see news reports that this was probably a cyber attack.
It was more like a ransomware attack by EvilCorp, which is, and this is speculation, right? As in, I think there is a little bit of proof now, but none of it has been acknowledged by Garmin at this point.
That's right. So we're still yet to get some official confirmation.
They initially claimed this to be a maintenance window, and then acknowledged, that was actually an outage. So to your point, Deepak, it seems like an outage that's been going on for almost 4 days, fifth day today, but Garmin's not necessarily come out and said anything about what this is, why this is happening, and what they are doing. So
I saw a number of tweets which actually said, hey, why didn't you, as a company, let us know that there is something else going on? Why was maintenance the word being used? But multiple news organizations actually ended up reporting this as a cyber attack. And that's how, the users put the pieces together. So yeah, I completely agree with you. They could have done a much better job of trying to be more informative and maybe a little bit transparent as to what's going on.
Right. And I think, like, just in terms of, the number of other applications that are relying on Garmin, like Strava was one of them as well. People were unable to, like, update their workout or download routes and things like that.
You know, what you mentioned was an example of a regular consumer, fitness and things like that, which, is important. But I also understood that Garmin is responsible for official airplane pilot data that is being downloaded as well. So it's, at the end, this is an FAA requirement. I hope I'm getting the abbreviation correctly, but essentially, it's not just affecting, your day-to-day consumers, but actually pilots as well.
Yeah. So it's definitely a global and far impactful outage that's hopefully Garmin recovers soon and we hear what they have to say quickly. But with that, we're going to talk about this Garmin incident a little bit more today. So we're going to go under the hood to see what we saw from our perspective on how this unfolded and some of the takeaways and tidbits we could gain. But we're also bringing on into the show our chief security expert, our CISO from Thousand Eyes, who's going to talk a little bit more about, ransomware, how to protect your organizations, and what are the best practices you can follow. So stay tuned for the rest of the show as well. With that, we'll go under the hood. So what we're looking at right now is actually webmail, which is a Garmin service. Again, it's an internal service used by their employees. We're essentially looking at availability of this service. So one of the things that, you know, first comes glaring across here is the dip in availability around July 22nd. So this was really interesting, right, Deepak? Because news organizations were calling this outage to have triggered on July 23rd, but we started seeing cases of this a little ahead. So, So we saw that, and as you can see here, we are live here, and it's still not up. So this is again one of the services that's still not fully recovered within Garmin. But one of the interesting things that we noticed here, apart from this global availability, is just trying to go in here and see a little bit deeper as to what errors we were actually getting. So one of the things that we noticed here that webmail.garmin.com was actually being redirected to adfs.garmin.com here. And that's ADFS, that server was actually what was throwing the internal server error. And
I wanted to really pinpoint that specific server, because this is where we were able to make some educated correlation on whether this could have been a cyber attack, right? We do understand that cyber attacks that are ransomware related tend to attack the Active Directory services. So maybe there's something to that.
Right. Also, because I think like that, I mean, the authentication system, the Active Directory system is like so critical to everything else that, you know, users do or even employees do. So again, there's some correlation, as you said, Deepak, rightly, on this being a ransomware attack or a cybersecurity attack in this case, and it bringing down ADFS systems. But I think... what was also interesting is like a little further into the timeline and, you know, around 3 a.m. Eastern, so really early in the morning Eastern time, we start seeing a connection reset by peer error. Now, this is completely different than what we saw, you know, just a few hours ago. But again, this was an indication that there was no redirect, you know, happening at this point in time.
Right. Yeah, it was failing at the first server that was, which was supposed to be redirecting.
Right. So this was webmail.com was, you know, down as well at this point in time. Now, this seemed to be the case, you know, throughout the next couple of days. And then sometime around July 25th at around 8:30 p.m. Eastern, I believe we started seeing fail to connect to ADFS. We see that redirects have gone up, which means webmail was now successfully redirecting it to ADFS, but then the Active Directory system was, you know, kind of refusing that connection itself.
Oh, so by the way, right, what's interesting is also that it was only at, you know, I think I'm kind of jumping timelines here, but it was only at 5 a.m. on July 23rd. Yeah. That the Garmin team first acknowledged that they were having a problem, which is about 6 hours since we started detecting a problem on the platform.
Right, like we started seeing it at 11:30 July 22nd, and then around 5 a.m. the next day is when Garmin actually, and this was Garmin India, if I'm not wrong.
Correct.
That kind of, you know, alluded to like there was a problem again. All on Twitter is what we were saying.
Yeah.
Right. I think the other interesting, you know, observation that we had here was essentially as we were trying to, you know, kind of, we go back to the right timeline that we're looking at and expand in here a little bit, is we actually were connecting to connect.garmin.com. Again, a completely different service than what we were looking at just a little while ago, but we're connecting to Garmin, Connect Garmin, and this was a service that was down and affected all the, you know, data transfer and synchronization and all of that across their physical device and Strava and all the other apps that we use, right? And again, from a timeline perspective, around 3 a.m. Eastern, right, we started seeing an issue. We started noticing that the entire transaction that we had scheduled was failing, and I think it was a wheel of death that was spinning around that point in time in terms of, you know, logging on to connect.garmin.com.
Right. And I think it's important to point out that compared to the previous data set we were looking at, where we were just trying to load the homepage, but mm-hmm. here we're actually trying to log in and authenticate with Garmin Connect, and we're seeing the wheel of death.
Right, right. And then I think the interesting thing, you know, filtering down to identify where exactly the error was happening, we saw 530 response code coming in from Cloudflare now.
I think, you know, what we first start seeing is a 530 error. And this is exactly the same time when webmail.garmin.com was unable to redirect to adfs.garmin.com.
Right. I think, interestingly, you know, while it looks like from July 23rd, there was a point in time around July 24th, the service actually came up. That's not necessarily what this is indicating. This is, indicating that the transcript that we had scheduled to actually log into Garmin.com was successfully completing, because that's the criteria or that's the attribute we are looking at right now. But what was interesting here? Why was the script actually completing? Were we really able to log into Garmin? Is the question. And it turns out we're not able to log into Garmin. Instead, we were basically, after the login screen, were sent to kind of, you know, a standard, we have an outage going on, you know, just acknowledging that the systems are down. So even though you see this completion percentage here of 100%, doesn't mean Garmin service was up itself, but you were just being redirected to like an outage page, giving you the status. Now, in terms of when are these services coming back up, we started noticing around July 27th at about 14 hours ago that connect.garmin is slowly up. And this is, you know, accurate in terms of what we're seeing on Garmin's website too, right? They're talking about limited availability of some of their services. And we're also seeing consumers get back and saying they're able to sync their workouts and so on. And here, if you again look at some of the snapshots that we're seeing here, you'll actually be able to see that we're able to successfully go beyond that login platform and then, you know, connect into Garmin and see what your services are or your devices that are set up and so on. So,
yeah, I think the good news for Garmin here is that they do have some level of delineation between the different services that they host for consumers, and it's kind of good to see that at least some of it's coming back up. It's interesting to know that the webmail service and the ADFS services haven't still come back up,
yeah,
right? So we still see those services failing.
Right. And it makes sense that they're kind of bringing up like consumer-facing services and then, you know, targeting that.
Internal.
Obviously, yeah, best practices. One of the interesting tweets that I read over the weekend is, you know, once Garmin is up, all the sync that has been pending for the last 5 days, if that's going to trigger, is that going to create some kind of DDoS attack? So, you know, something that IT teams have to keep in mind, that when you're recovering and bringing back a service, identifying, you know, what those dependencies are, and if those dependencies are going to trigger, you know, additional load on your systems, kind of take that into consideration before you actually recover as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I hope they plan for that.
Yeah. All right. With that, we're going to get into our expert spotlight. We have Alexander Anufriev. Alexander is our Chief Information Security Officer at Thousand Eyes, and we thought it would be appropriate to bring him on the call today to discuss, you know, ransomware attacks in general, because this week, the discussion of this week has been about Garmin's attack/outage that happened last Thursday on July 23rd. And it's been 5 days into the, incident, and Garmin is still recovering. So that would be great to bring Alexander in here and to just discuss about how ransomware attacks are, you know, orchestrated, how do you get out of it, how do you prevent it, just some interesting topics there. So Alexander, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So I think the first line of like, you know, the curiosity for me as I was like just reading through all the reports that's coming out. Now, again, Garmin has not necessarily claimed or acknowledged that this is a ransomware, but there's a lot of press out there. And I think also some evidence to show that it's a ransomware. But I'm reading through it, there are multiple names that get thrown out. There's Evil Corp, sounds like it's from a movie. Then you have Wasted Locker, and you know, so many other malware names that are being put out there. So for our audience, can you just kind of frame the lay of land as to who is Evil Corp, what is Wasted Locker, and what is a ransomware attack?
Sure, it all sounds like comics books. Evil Corp is one comics, Wasted Locker is another. Wasted Locker is actually a relatively new ransomware family. It's been seen live since May 2020, and it is believed to be operated by so-called Evil Corp. Evil Corp is a group of cyber criminals who has been in business since 2007, and it is originated from Russia. They've developed and deployed a lot of different malware. Their previous ransomware was called BitPamer. They are also responsible for executing attacks, stealing banking credentials, and many other attacks in the last 13 years. The name Wasted Locker is based on the file extension it adds to encrypted files, Wasted. And typically, attacks involving this ransomware hit file servers, database services, virtual machines, the cloud environment, and all parts of critical IT infrastructure.
So the Wasted Locker strain of ransom attacks, that is that the part that encrypts, or does all ransom attack like encrypt internal files?
We can think that ransomware has two different flavors. One is traditional low-cost execution ransomware that is sent to everyone. It's non-custom, it's generic, and starts as a phishing attack. Somebody at home PC executes a malicious file, and then their files get infected, and they're asked to pay $700, for example.
Yep.
This one, Wasted Locker, is highly customized and well planned. It's a part of the bigger attack. It's just targeted attack. It may take several months to plan and execute. Ransomware attack typically starts either as a phishing email or vulnerability exploited in a system or application. In well-planned attacks, when an attacker obtains access to the host, it won't trigger encryption right away. It starts performing analysis. What else can I do? What other damage can I bring as part of this attack? And I spread laterally across all the networks, all the systems. And in the end, you may achieve your desired outcome by bringing almost every IT asset down, either by encrypting data of the most critical IT asset, like authentication domain or virtualization infrastructure, or just putting everything down one by one.
Wow, interesting. I kind of, my next line of, you know, question was around how does one orchestrate this attack? And, you know, is it just originated or triggered basically through a phishing attack and then slowly propagates?
Right. It's all of the above. Phishing email, even social engineering phone call pretending to be your IT department and asking to urgently clean up your PC. Combination of techniques. The owner of an asset that has been compromised is essentially a victim, and they will have a few choices. If it's a home-based user, mm-hmm. and my files got encrypted, I can either pay $700 as they requested, or I can just forget about my files and accept the damage.
If I
have a backup, I can restore files from the backup.
Something that you mentioned, you know, is about how the attack, you know, kind of targets some really critical parts of the infrastructure. Earlier on the show, we were walking through how this attack manifested, you know, from the vantage point of ThousandEyes. And one of the things that we noticed in there was while accessing or testing to an internal domain, a webmail domain of Garmin, we noticed that the ADFS server was either we were unable to reach it, it was throwing a 500 error, or it was blatantly just refusing any connection.
Active Directory infrastructure is probably one of the most critical IT assets and part of enterprise IT infrastructure. It contains user account information, information about computers, service accounts, and other critical information. If it's down, then probably most other critical services will be down as well. Databases, web applications, because they all use authentication credentials.
Right.
And employees will not be able to use services that even if they are even independent from the Active Directory, because their authentication credentials are stored in Active Directory.
Right.
And the ADFS, which is an acronym for Active Directory Federation Services, is a web application SSO, web SSO. This is how people get authenticated against internal Active Directory to access web SSO applications.
So in terms of, their entire system has been compromised and all the press and the damage that's happening there, one question that, consumers are worried about or is around, is my password stolen? Is any of my personal information, my credit card information, is that compromised through a ransomware attack? Is that usually the case or not?
Yeah, when we talk about this mass cases for ransomware for home PC, you can probably safely say it is not the case. For this one, it is difficult to say. Again, in most cases, it's not the case.
Okay.
Making data publicly available or for sale is not the purpose of ransomware attack. The purpose is to get the ransom. However, if an IT owner or asset owner lost access over their data,
right.
Anything may happen. And only forensic investigation will be able to verify if any data has been exfiltrated or not.
Got it. Okay. And in terms of recovery, we're on day 5 since the incident, and Garmin is coming back up, but still there are some services that I believe are limited as of this morning. Is it normal to see a 5-day recovery period?
This is probably an indicator of very widespread attacks. So the impact is very high, probably maybe the highest we've seen so far.
Right. Okay.
But typically, as part of recovery activities, you remove all the artifacts left by attacker, all the malicious code, backdoors, rootkit, compromised accounts that could have been created as part of the attack execution. And the organizations has to rebuild the system. And rebuilding the domain controller or Active Directory infrastructure may take a lot of hours.
Right.
Then we have to restore the data, perform all the integrity check, vulnerability scan, and anything else that is required by the incident response process.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we also need to understand what has failed in terms of data protection practices to make sure to minimize probability of such incident from recurring. When such well-planned attack is executed, an attacker would also try to disrupt operations of backup restore facility. Make sure organizations hurt the most. They don't have running systems and they can't access a backup facility.
Right, right. Interesting. That's a really interesting point. Alexander, towards the end of the conversation here, how would an organization protect themselves from ransomware attacks?
Yeah, there's probably no simple answer to this question, but the answer would lie within the comprehensive security program that addresses employee awareness, education, physical, logical security, business security as well. And let's not forget, backups are really important. Tapes are hardly used today, which creates probably an issue of true offsite, offline backup. And as we mentioned previously, if an attacker is able to compromise the primary data set, they will try to compromise backup data set as well, or to disrupt restoration facilities.
Wow, yeah.
So true offsite backup and true offline backup is really important.
You're probably going to simulate more testing attacks on us to see if we are compliant or not.
Yes, we will. We'll continue doing that for sure.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Alexander, for being on the call and walking us through what this is. It was 101 on ransomware for us. So thanks again.
Thank you, Archana. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you, Alexander. That was really, really insightful. And I'm hoping we hear back from Carmen exactly as to what happened and how they were actually, you know, planning their recovery and getting out of this situation as well. With that, that's all we have for this week. Don't forget to subscribe, which will get you a free t-shirt by emailing internetreport@thousandeyes.com with your address and size. Deepak, thanks again for, you know, being on the show and co-hosting today's episode for our audience.
Thank you, Archana. It was a pleasure.
All right. And again, one more thing before we leave is we actually have the video for the State of the Internet is now live on our YouTube channel. So if you missed the entire session or if you just missed parts of it, you can check that out on our YouTube channel. With that, we'll see you next week.